The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and each week we go through different ways. We kind of rotate through different growth strategies to take your business to that next level. So one week we'll talk about growing your business through franchising, and the next week it might be acquisitions, and the next week it might be geographic expansion. You never know where we're going to go, except you can if you go on the website and you look at the Voice America Business and kind of take a forward look. Let me do a little bit of promoting of upcoming shows. Next week we're going to be doing an interesting show with a financial planner, but she's not going to be talking about financial planning. She's going to be talking about family councils. How do you grow your family business through those next generations? And it's getting trickier and trickier, particularly with the baby boomer generation growing and trying to figure out, does the next generation get it? And so she's got some really good suggestions for an approach on how do you grow your business through the successive generations. Then the next week we're going to be talking with Chris Miles, who's an award-winning entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about growing your business through giving back to the community. This guy really gets it. I mean, he's working on his software business, but he creates awards for young entrepreneurs, and he sponsors a fundraiser for the Christopher Reeves Foundation, and he has economic development panels. He's becoming very well known very quickly by giving back. And I'll share some of my experience with my role as an advocate. As some of you know, I chaired the New Jersey delegation for the White House Conference on Small Business, and I've had as many as 7 employees to support my advocacy habit, as they say. Should have created a foundation years ago. But it's an interesting journey of how do you balance community advocacy, community giving, that type of thing, with growing your company, how they feed one another, but you also have to make sure you know what you're doing and balancing it. And we also have some fascinating guests coming up in July. I don't even want to talk about some of the specific names, but the idea of reaching out to the Inc. 500 comes to mind, as they say. Really exciting people that are doing some risky things. So now what would we be talking about today? We're talking about leveraging your existing capabilities, the things that you know you're capable of doing. You've got the talent, you've got the people, you've got the money, you've got the experience, and you're trying to say, all right, what other new markets, what other new customers might value this? You don't always have to go for maximum pain and maximum risk by going into a brand new marketplace with a brand new service that you've never done before, and it's huge, and so you can't afford it. I think a lot of people who are looking for rapid growth forget that sometimes you leverage here and you leverage there and you leverage here and you leverage there across like almost a circle. It can really add up because a 5% change in one area, a 2% change in another, a 5% change in another, start doing the math, and you're growing a lot faster than somebody else who's agonizing. So here we go. What are we really looking for? Now, I find that the 4 things that you leverage are your knowledge, your skill, your interest, and your access. Now, some people add things like, you're leveraging your assets. I understand that. I find a lot of people are trying to make sure that a machine gets leveraged or an approach gets leveraged, and that really can be replaced. It's the skill of the people that are able to use it. It's the access to the marketplace. So let's take each one. And I'm going to give you an example that's totally different from our guest today because she's in services. And we're going to be talking in great detail with Susan Berkeley at the Great Voice Company. Let's take something that's totally different. Let's take a manufacturer. And you're starting your company, and you can do injection molding. Anybody know what that means? You got a bunch of plastic that when you heat it up, it melts. And you can put it into a mold. Your engineers grind this thing out, and it lays in there. And when it cools, it has a shape. Now, you know how to do that. And you have an injection company, you have an injection molding company, and so you can make forms, plastic forms. Now you know how to do that. Who needs that? See, and if you're listening to this, and you don't have a plastics company, or you don't know how to do injection, the point of this is I want you to listen to what capabilities sound like. What are the capabilities related to that? Capabilities are related to using heat, cooling, knowing what to do with plastic, knowing how to make molds, and knowing who might want them when you made them. Sourcing the plastic. See, there's several capabilities in that process. That's one of the reasons I bring it up. A lot of the people who are listening, they don't have a manufacturing company, and they might not have asked the same kind of questions. Okay, so if you're in service, say you're an accountant, could you come up with the same list of 10 things that are equivalent to heat, plastics, cooling, molding, the engineering part? Well, I find a lot of accountants can't do that. All they can see is that they know how to do the numbers. They can't see that maybe one of the things that they're able to do is understand taxes or get clients or fill in reports or, you know, what is the equivalent of heat, cold, injection, plastics, sourcing? You see it? So those capabilities, those skills that you may have, if you can't even list them, it's hard to leverage them. So let's go back to the injection molder. They know how to do this, and then what they have to look for is the types of companies out there, the kinds of clientele that need something that would be done with injection. So, you know, they start looking at the car companies because more and more things are plastic. So now, you know, you thought you knew how to do injection molding, but do you know how to deal with the car companies? Oh, my gosh, here we go, the purchasing departments and all the certifications. And if you can't do thousands and thousands, if not millions of the parts, you can't get the deal. Like somebody who's in the apparel business that thinks their first account's going to be QVC. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea. See, in your list of capabilities was dealing with a huge company on a huge scale, one of your capabilities. Maybe not. It was heat, plastics, cooling, and it's injection. You see it? You know, wait a second. Don't dive too deep. Who needs it on the same scale that you've been doing it so that you can now leverage? How do you do a second customer? How do you do a second type of customer? But it's a similar kind of scale. So maybe it's somebody who has a smaller order. Maybe they're in a different geography. It could be the same industry that you've been working with. And the only change that you've made is that you're dealing with somebody with a slightly different culture. Or maybe distance. You know, you had to learn how to do the shipping. Maybe, you know, that's the one piece of learning you're going to do. So I guess I'm saying to you that when you're looking at your customers and you're looking at your prospects, ask yourself, pause for a moment and ask, how many differences, how many changes are we trying to introduce with this prospect? Because if you're introducing geography, changes in the purchasing pattern, changes in the scale of what they're wanting, changes in the specificity of what they're going to be doing, something that was simple for you before now becomes too complicated and it's too fancy and you can't do it. What you can leverage is knowledge of what? The capability, maybe it's knowledge of the customer. I've seen some people that what they do to try to grow their business is they really get to know an industry. Maybe especially some of the industries that have these specialized knowledges, languages, you know, they sound like they're from a different planet. Pharmaceutical can be like that. They're one of the industries where you're either in it or you're not. Can you speak pharma? And do you know what pharma meant? There's some people in healthcare that would say that either you're in healthcare or you're not. There's some people that say you're either in government or you're not because the procurement process, the whole process of working with the different entities and coordinating and the politics of it. There are some industries that you just either are or you aren't. Casinos can feel like that. The gaming industry can feel like that. I have felt that retail can feel like that. Either you understand the retail mentality or you don't. Entertainment can feel like that. There's barriers to entry in some industries. So if you actually have some background in one of those industries that is pretty closed, that your knowledge, your access, and your understanding of the language, that's even more something to leverage than whether or not you can do blow molding or injection molding or whatever it was that you could do. That capability can be leveraged quite a bit. So what are you leveraging when you're applying your existing abilities to new marketplaces? Take the manufacturer again. One of their capabilities is that they would have to learn how to do assembly. Let's say you're making bottles, and you know how to make the caps and the dispensers. It isn't just the plastic molding or the blow molding or the whether or not it's injection or blow molding. It's also all the little pieces. And you've got a group of people that can actually coordinate with one another, and they can assemble all the parts, and they can get them done really quickly and prevent any problems. Whoa. Okay, so what does some other company do? Maybe they've already done the rest of the material, but they can't seem to hire people who can do assembly. They talk about it, but they miss the deadlines, or they can't keep people, they won't show up, they can't get along. So if you look at your organization and you discover, wow, you've got a capability in assembly. It isn't just making the bottles, you can make the caps. Could you farm out your capability in making caps and doing assemblies? And it wouldn't even need to be a cap. One of my clients who was in injection molding and blow molding, they would be a contractor for companies that did, it looked like, completely different things because they farmed out their assembly department. In other words, somebody who had, in their case, one of their products was a cassette recording, you know, a cassette tape. Think about all the parts in a cassette tape. It's got the little wheels. It's got the tape itself. It's got the out box. It's got the little piece of, I don't even know what it's made, styrofoam that presses against the tape. It's got a lot of parts. And especially if you were doing the microtapes, it's tiny work. You'd be surprised how much of that is still done by hand in a lot of places. Well, they were able to leverage their capabilities, not just in injection blow molding or in injection or blow molding and their use of plastics. They were able to make money by leveraging their assembly department. So between, you know, the runs on the big things that were completely theirs, they were able to have somebody else pay them for their assembly people. Now, imagine you're that same company, and you start thinking about this, and you go, all right, now we have molds given to us by our clients, and we have we're working on assembly. But you know what? We can make our own molds. We can figure out how to design this and create something. Now they have engineering capability. You hear the logic. Look around your company and see at the capabilities that you have. After the break, we'll be interviewing Susan Berkeley of the Great Voice Company. Totally different application. How do you look at your knowledge, skill, interest, and access to have existing capabilities in new markets?
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on the Bottom Line of Business, businessamericaradio.com.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And if you didn't identify yourself with a blow molding company, well, you'll have a chance to talk with somebody who most of us won't identify with either because she has such a great voice and is able to leverage really well, and we have to learn from her. Susan, you there?
I'm here, Aldana. Hi, it's great to be with you.
Hello, I'm delighted to have you on the program. Let's do a little bit of your background for people so that they know why I would choose you as the great leverager.
Okay, well, I'm the founder and president of the Great Voice Company in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey.
But what do we do?
We have actually two divisions. We have a production division where we record voices for phone systems and all kinds of voiceover for narrations and commercial application in all languages. And then we have a training division which trains voice talent, which are people who do commercials, people who want to get into commercials, cartoons, narrations. Mm-hmm. And then we also train business speakers in presentation skills.
That's excellent, because people need the help.
There's
a lot
of
executives that need help with their presentations.
Needing and wanting is two different things, but we're there for whomever has the need. And we have a publishing division, too. We have a publishing company.
Well, your book, Speak to Influence, is excellent.
Thank you, Aldana.
Excellent. I mean, it's talking about unlocking the hidden power of your voice. But I think it's more than that. I think it is. It's very specific. Anybody wants to go to greatvoice.com, you know, take a look at that book because it has quite a bit for you. You were a top voiceover artist before. I mean, one of the first things that you leveraged is recognizing that you've got the voice. Tell me a little bit of the history. There's a famous line that you used for a long time, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I am one of the voices that says, "Thank you for using AT&T."
Everybody
and
recognized her.
And also, welcome to City Phone Banking. Your account balance, after listening to Growth Strategist, is $1 million.
That's cute. How did you get into voiceover work? I mean,
well, I was a radio personality. Yeah, my professional background is in radio, so I was a radio personality for about 15 years, and I worked for all kinds of stations all around the country in Florida and in New York, and I was a rock jock, and I did news, and I did traffic, and my radio career culminated with a stint on the Howard Stern Show.
So better you than me. I'm impressed you could do that. That's impressive.
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun, and he's actually a really nice guy off the air, and I'm going to blow his cover right now because he's nothing like the persona that he projects on the air.
I've been told that. You know, it's a persona for the TV, you know, for TV and radio. You know?
If you met him, you would be impressed by how kind and gentle he is. He's actually very shy also.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Carson was.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these people that are very much out there, you know, have a very different personality internally. But you've been on radio interviews for other people, too. You have your own radio program.
Yes, and I've gotten a lot of – so when we talk about leveraging, one of the first things that I leveraged when I started my business was the media. Because that was my medium, and I was very, very comfortable there. You can put me in front of a microphone and wake me up in the middle of the night and put a mic in my face, and I'll be on. To coin something that I heard the Congressman Patricia Schroeder say once is that when the light, she opens the door to the refrigerator and the light goes on, she's on because it looks like a TV camera, you know.
So, politicians, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I'm in that category of people who are, not afraid of public speaking, not afraid of the media. And so I knew I had those contacts and I leveraged that really heavily when I started my own business. And I think that was really a huge jump start to get clients for my training business because Howard was talking about it on the air because I went right from being on his show to starting my own company.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things you did was leveraging skill but access. You know how many people I've seen when they start their own company, it's like they run from where they were and they forget that the access, the people that they knew, and the friends that they made, you know, would matter. And they go off like they're diving into the deep end without swimming lessons. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, and that's crazy. So I think you really have to always work from your strong points. And I guess it was totally intuitive, Aldana, because I had no concept. I'd never had any business training whatsoever. I'm a college dropout.
Oh, my.
I do come from a family of entrepreneurs, so I guess
tell them about your grandfather.
Helps.
Come on.
Yeah, my grandfather was the founder of Archie Comics. He was the co-founder. And so I come from a family of publishers. My father's still in the business. He's the president of the company. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I grew up, I guess by osmosis, I learned a lot of that because they were always doing licensing deals and they have so many characters and they were, they published Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all those things.
No kidding. I didn't know they did that one.
Yeah, so So somehow it got in there. Somehow it's in my blood, and I was able to, you know, step into
early on. I mean, when you started, was it training voiceover artist? Was that how you started?
Yeah, you know, when I knew I wanted to leave radio and become, my original objective was to become a voice talent myself, because we're incredibly well paid for what we do. You know, we step into the recording studio, we can make hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars in an hour. So that's what everybody wants. Now, of course, that work is not steady, it's totally freelance.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that when I was leaving radio, I wanted to have something else that I could count on. So that's when I started training people.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was people loved my classes, and before I knew it, I had the training business exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, I opened a studio in New York City I was giving classes there, and then in Los Angeles as well, and I was teaching there and, you know, traveling around the country giving workshops and seminars. So both kind of really took off at the same time.
You must have been too busy.
Yeah, but I was really, really young, so I could
so what?
Take it.
Now, L.A. was because it's another entertainment market, correct?
Another entertainment center, and actually what I did was I had a colleague who was actually one of my students and then became one of my instructors, and he was moving out there anyway, so I tasked him with running the Los Angeles classes. It crashed and burned disastrously out there, but we had a good run at it for a few,
yes,
maybe a year or so.
Well, it is hard to manage all that. I mean, that's what I mean. You know, it can be too much.
Yeah.
It can be too much. Now, your business is so different now. I mean, you have corporate accounts.
We do.
Voicemail systems and all other kinds of things.
Yeah, I actually started my business in 1987.
Okay.
And right now what it looks like is we have a core group of some really great corporate clients. AT&T has been our client for many years, and, of course, Citibank, IDT, the big phone company.
Right.
We do work with service bureaus that serve the pharmaceutical industry, and we have a couple of clients in that area.
Oh,
so
you
we're
speak pharma now.
Yeah, we speak pharma.
You're
yeah.
Bilingual.
I'm bilingual. But that was interesting too, because you know, I'm one of the skills that I have is I speak Portuguese fluently,
mm-hmm.
and I had a key employee for many years who was like trilingual. She speaks fluent French and Hungarian and Russian,
mm-hmm.
so we had that strong interest in foreign languages, and so. Early on, we decided that we were going to niche the business, not just be a voiceover company, but one that specialized in foreign language recording.
But see, knowing you, if you didn't have an employee that had other languages, you would have seen that, because it's all about voice, and there's so many countries and so many languages, and not everybody has both that voiceover background and language, so you would have found somebody that had three languages. Come on.
Yeah, and it's not even like my own employees do the voices. We work with freelance talent to do that. But we then built up a really strong and vast talent library of qualified foreign speakers,
yeah.
or non-native speakers, I should say, because there's a lot of considerations around accent and dialect that you need to know. And
I've noticed that if you want a really genuine Ohio accent, you hire somebody from India.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, I'm serious. Sometimes the English lessons and language and accent training is so superior in some other countries that if you really want to sound like you're from Ohio, you know, you don't necessarily go to school in New York.
Yes.
It's intriguing.
That's interesting. That's true. I know.
Mm-hmm. Some of my clients have, you know, taught me that when they do have call centers and such, they have to get past looking at where somebody's from and actually really listen.
Yes.
What they're listening for.
And so actually, I've done a lot of training in call centers, Aldana, too.
I bet.
Yeah.
So you've leveraged, you know, the skills and access. Did you have interest in the larger companies? I mean, what got you into that?
Well, actually, it's very interesting because you really do need to build a chair with four legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, if you could ask me where one of the weaknesses was, I would say that's it. Because I really came from a music and entertainment background,
mm-hmm.
and never really had a lot of interest in the workings of corporate America. But what I am interested in deeply is people. And when I could get beyond the fact that I was working with, you know, a large conglomerate,
mm-hmm.
but really I'm working, my clients are people first.
Right.
And then they're part of a corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
So then that made it okay, but a lot of my competition,
I know, that sounded funny. That was cute.
But it's true.
Okay, you know, we'll tolerate the corporation because it's got nice people.
But, a corporation is an entity, and somebody did a movie, they did a documentary recently, that it's not just an entity, it's a psychotic entity. Because they're based on, acquisition, and that can get into greed, and if you don't have good leadership, mm-hmm. You'll just, pillage.
Sounds like a Michael Moore documentary.
Yeah, it's a great documentary. It's called The Corporation. I recommend it highly. Every business owner should see it to not become a monster.
Felt that you really did need some of these larger accounts and could help, once you got past seeing it as negotiating with that big entity,
they were really, they kind of came to us initially. I hate to say that because I've just been extremely lucky in business, but we got into the internet really early on, and that I think we were able to really grab really great placement and be there kind of first. Mm-hmm. And we still use the internet heavily to generate leads. That's how we found most of our corporate clients.
Well, I think a skill that you have is that you're very capable in marketing. You've always
yes.
had that sense of using the media and getting the word out.
Well, and it's not just that I had a sense. That is one area, Aldana, that I'm very proud that when I started my business, I went and I educated myself in marketing and didn't go back to university. I studied with the great entrepreneurs that were giving boot camps in marketing, people like Jay Abraham. Dan Kennedy right now is my marketing mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to really write great ad copy.
Mm-hmm.
I really...
Oh, Dan Kennedy writes these incredible letters.
Yeah, so he's...
Yep.
I have swipe files and swipe files that are filled with his stuff. And
good.
Yeah, so I hope people understand. Do people know about the concept of a swipe file? Because talking about leveraging, that's one of the biggest things that business owners should do.
Well, I think what we'll do on the next segment was we'll talk about some of the marketing capabilities that you've developed and, the recommendations that you'd make. Do you think that you leveraged any interest? Was there something that you wanted to do and, you were interested in a certain marketplace and that's how you developed your business or not?
Did I leverage interest? Well, of course, because of the voice talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, being a voice talent myself and then training other people who want to do this, and believe me, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who want to become voice talent. So it's to use a crude phrase, it's the wannabe market. It's almost like a biz-op kind of a market.
Right.
But I knew what made these people tick because I was one. And
right.
I think that's the first important thing for any business owner. When you're writing copy, you have to really walk in your prospect's shoes.
Understand that. When we come back, we'll be with Susan Berkley of the Great Voice Company. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
One aspect of the American dream is a safe and decent place to live that fits within each person's financial capabilities. Based on the individual and the community, home may have very many different meanings. For on housing issues, log on and listen to Let's Talk Affordable Housing with Ginger McGuire every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business. Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and today we have Susan Berkeley of The Great Voice Company with us. Now, one small thing that she didn't mention that I think is just really fun. You were on the To Tell the Truth years ago, weren't you?
I was, and boy, was that cool. And I can tell you how I got that, because that was huge for my company.
Did you actually go get that, or they came?
No. I teach at the Learning Annex in New York City, and that has been a huge, huge... Hey, listen, here's a huge tip for everybody. Teaching is a great way to leverage and magnetize opportunities to you. And I mean high-profile teaching.
That's true.
Like at adult ed, and especially places like Learning Annex, which does a huge amount of promotions. I mean, they will distribute 1 million course books every month. So you can't buy that kind of impression.
Well, and you're positioned yourself as an expert, so, you know, you get... requests for things, or somebody assumes you know what you're doing, and they give you access to other ideas and opportunities. So it's a really good thing to do. I actually had a prospect one time call me up. He says, I've got an opportunity to give this large symposium with Columbia University. You think I should turn it down because they're going to pay me so little?
Are you kidding?
How can you not recognize the marketing value? Do you know?
Yeah.
So you got on to Tell the Truth, and what kind of...
I got on to Tell the Truth because they found me from the Learning Annex. They went through there looking for guests.
Gotcha.
This is several years ago, right when my book came out, maybe in 2000, I think it was. And they flew me out to Los Angeles. When the producer called, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was one of my friends. You know,
they said,
this is so-and-so calling from Los Angeles. We want you to be on to Tell the Truth. And I'm like, no, get out of here. So they flew me out to L.A. They picked me up in a limo. They took me to the studio. I did, I was out there for 2 days. And when the show aired, I didn't fool anybody. Everybody knew that I was the voice expert. But
they would have a hard time having the other people have good enough voices to sound... incredible.
They were actresses. They were pretty good, but I don't know. We didn't fool the panel. But nonetheless, the kicker was that the host of the show held my book up at the end. And that show got rerun like 4 or 5 times, and every time it would run, I would sell hundreds of books.
Oh, that's great.
So it was fabulous. And I also got to do a little voiceover on the show, take them, you know, to tell the truth, we'll be right back after this. And that was also really excellent.
Now, how did you leverage that? I mean, that's a cool thing.
Well,
it's
streaming on my website, still up there, and that helps to credentialize me.
Sure.
And then I have a media press kit, so then I can go to other TV shows and other newspapers and things. So I've gotten a tremendous amount of press, Aldana. I'm going to be in the style section of the Sunday Times in a few weeks. I'll be in Self Magazine, and I'll be on a major reality TV show that I can't mention the name because I'm signed to confidentiality agreements, but it's going
to
run in the...
You don't eat worms, though?
I don't eat worms.
Okay.
But it's the host is very, very famous.
Oh, my.
So, That'll be on in the fall, yeah.
Well, we're all watching these programs, so we'll watch for you. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things that you've done in leveraging is you multi-purpose stuff. So if you have an article, you know, you'll see it on the website, you'll see it in a speech, you'll see it as a press release that goes to the media. I mean, you're very efficient with the things that you do.
Yeah, so I started out I actually created an audio program first, and I wrote the scripts. It's called Voice Shaping, How to Find Your Million-Dollar Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, actually, I gave those manuscripts to a writer, and I said, help me turn this into a book.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really easy way to have a book within 6 months. And then, of course, the book is what got me on To Tell the Truth, and it just credentialized me. And I, you know, for any corporate training I do, it's incredibly impressive to have a book because it makes you the obvious expert.
Yep. I've seen people think, well, I don't know how to write a book, and they don't even notice that they've written 50 articles.
Yeah.
Or that they've given 20 speeches or whatever it is, and they just don't make the connection. Okay, if you need an editor to help you put it together, if you need a proofreader to help you with the logistics of it, just get past the one skill set you didn't have and leverage the ones you had.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So now you were talking about marketing. You mentioned Dan Kennedy, and you said something about slides. I think there's some people that aren't going to understand what you meant. What are you talking
slides.
About?
I forget already what we were talking
about. Something that Dan Kennedy taught you. You have a whole. You're dealing with.
Oh no! Continuity programs.
Okay.
And what that is you want to find a way and getting people into your marketing funnel. So,
mm-hmm.
You never want to make a sale that's just one sale. You never want to sell anything where you're only selling it once. You want to build a business with a back end because the profit in any business comes from the repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there are businesses which are purely one-time-only sale, but then you have to...
That'd be tough. It'd be tough.
It's horrible. Mm-hmm. So anything you do, like you said, you want to repurpose, you want to cross-purpose, and you want to have people coming back for more. Mm-hmm. And you want to create this is Dan Kennedy's term, a herd of hungry, thirsty customers who are absolutely impassioned by...
More.
Pardon me?
They want more.
They want more. So within a vertical market,
mm-hmm.
and my vertical market is the two of them, voiceover and speaking skills,
mm-hmm.
public speaking. And so what I have just started, and Dan was the one that got me going with this, was a continuity program, and it's huge. It's huge. So this is a way.
What's the continuity? How many steps does it have?
Well, this particular program, it has it's $59.95 a month. It's called my Silver Inner Circle Group
cool.
for Voice Talent. It's $59.95, and people give me permission to charge their card every month
yep.
on a till forbid basis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what they get for that is priority access to me. They get a conference call every month with an industry expert,
mm-hmm.
and they get a weekly motivational email from me, and they love it. And then I'll send them up. I'll have a gold level. I'll have a platinum level with more and more access and greater exclusivity.
But how many people are participating now?
Right now we have about 100 people, and we're growing it all the time. We give 3 free months.
That's
and
cool.
It's great.
Now, you didn't know how to do that years ago. How'd you get into that?
I had no idea. Like I say, that Dan Kennedy inspired me to that one.
Now, you're oriented to, you know, multi-purpose each of the things you do. That was just a repackaging of something that you had in some ways.
Yeah, sure.
You know, making it so more people can play at the same time.
Yep. And that's the other thing that I've leveraged has been technology, Aldana, because I use teleconferencing almost exclusively in my teaching. When I started out training people, I had heavy overhead. I had real estate in New York City. I had an office there and a studio. I had 2 suites.
That's
and the overhead was... It was so expensive, it was killing me.
Yeah.
And even to have staff in New York City, you know, and you have that commercial rent tax there, it's just a real pain.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't park. I couldn't park, you know. I had to live in New York City to be able to, you know, work there. And so I got out of the city, and then I was like, well, where am I going to give my classes? And I started giving my classes exclusively by teleconference.
Yep.
And I was the first voice instructor. Now, a lot of people are doing teleconferencing in their businesses, but
right.
I was the first one to do that, to teach voiceover there
mm-hmm.
in that way. And it's been huge because there's no overhead,
yeah.
and I've just expanded my market internationally. I have a student in my class right now that calls in from Japan every week.
Yeah.
I've had them from China, I've had them from England, and now from all over the country. So I've filled a tremendous niche of people that want this kind of training and coaching, but there are no instructors in their neighborhood. So I'm not, most of the people that teach voice talent work with actors. I don't want actors.
Yep.
I want career changers. I want business opportunity people.
Gotcha. I felt the same way about the internet radio, because instead of just being a local program, like on AM or something like that, you know, we do something like this, and the people who are calling in and the people who are listening are all over the world. And so one of the first steps when they call in a question is that, you know, you have to translate it, because it might not necessarily be in English, although most people are speaking English because that's how they can understand us. But some of the questions are very broken English, and you have to go through that translation step. And it's very exciting.
It is exciting.
You hear somebody from India, you hear somebody from, you know, Chile, and you hadn't met them, and it's just fabulous. It's a very exciting way to leverage geography, just leverage the technology. Now, you also have an interest in psychology. What have you done with that?
I do. You know, I have a mentor who is in Brazil. He's a psychoanalyst, and his name is Dr. Norberto Kepi. And I feel that his methodology is, like, completely groundbreaking as far as human potential. Mm-hmm. It's a serious school of psychoanalysis that incorporates psychology with metaphysics and philosophy. Sounds pretty like a lot, you know, but I have, it's really my parallel life's work. For the past 22 years, I've immersed myself. I find it fascinating. I spend now almost 2 months a year in Brazil.
Wow.
And studying with him.
I remember talking with you and saying, you know, maybe you should set up a separate kind of subsidiary or a nonprofit for your work there, because you were so serious about it. And, you know,
well, what's really cool, what's very cool about it is that I incorporate it in, now what I'm doing is incorporating it in my training of voice talent and public speakers, because
right.
it gives me a methodology for helping people overcome their phobias.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that a lot of the people that I work with are very interested in knowing more about it, because I'm almost opening a doorway so they can know about their inner life through speaking. And so it's great. It's working out really well. And I actually co-translated and published one of Dr. Kepi's books here, which gave me a lot of tremendous pleasure. I'm very proud about that. Because I also have a
publishing company.
Am I
remembering it right? It was something like The Origin of Illness or something.
The Beautiful, yeah, perfect. That's
okay.
what it's
oh,
called.
Cool. Good.
The Origin of Illness, yeah.
Well, that's a powerful message. I mean, so the combination of, go back to where we were talking about in the beginning. If somebody jumped off the deep end and said, all right, I'm going to write about the origin of illness and forget all my voiceover stuff and forget that, you know, I have all this access to entertainment and forget that I can teach, and just dove into that entirely, can you hear that that would be almost like suicidal for most people? But you've
right.
been able to weave this together and do it in a careful way so that they're complementary and you have a strong business, because you didn't, you know, you didn't let something go to go into a new thing.
Right. And, you know, I didn't write The Origin of Illness, Dr. Kepi did, but I was able to help translate it and publish it. So because I already had the publishing company from my other work, and I had the support, you know, staff, I could publish that book.
Excellent. When we come back, we'll say a few more words about leverage. This is Aldana Ambler on The Growth Strategist.
When business is in your blood and you need answers, get connected. Call 1-866-233-7861.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Lerner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Think you've got a grip on the profit potential your property has? Tune in to VoiceAmerica.com Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning. Dennis will teach you the ins and outs of the massive world of real estate. You will learn the rewards and pitfalls of why to invest in commercial real estate. You'll also hear from experts in property management, lending, title work, tax-deferred exchanges, legal issues, and many entrepreneurial investors. The best part? You'll learn to generate a regular income that'll lead to enticing capital gains. So don't miss one moment of Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler. Well, for the next few minutes, we still have Susan Berkeley with us and of the Great Voice Company. And let's talk just a little bit about money. I mean, one of the things that I've been impressed with over the years, Susan, is that you don't always jump to the conclusion that you're going to have to put a ton of money up front, go into a ton of debt to buy an audience or buy something. You really pause and ask, how do we make sure that this is of value and the customers would want to pay it and have it organically grown? You don't seem to be debt-driven in your mentality. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of debt. I mean, I have some, you know, debt in my business, but and maybe I could be, maybe I'm a little too conservative.
No, but I think it's symbolic of you. You know how to look, okay, how do we leverage what we currently have? How do we figure out who is truly interested? How do we make sure that it makes sense profit-wise? I find some people who are getting into trouble debt-wise, it's because they really haven't leveraged their knowledge, their skill, their interest, their access, that kind of thing well enough, and they think they can buy themselves into the next big marketplace.
Yeah, well, you're right. And then so whatever they're doing is based on a speculative, shaky ground, yeah.
Have you ever done something where you look back on it and you go, ooh, wow, I spent too much money on that?
Yeah, I once one thing that kind of crashed and burned with my business is like my book. You know, when my book came out, I was trying to do extensions of it, you know, and so I created a corporate training program before I did the research, and I thought that people would want an instructor-led program based on my book. So I created all the course manuals and the videos and all that, and I think we sold one.
You're kidding.
So I lost
Boy, there's a lesson in taking a look at it and making sure it's desired. You know, but you know, the reason I thought of that is the one thing that you've sounded like you've regretted a little bit is all the overhead in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm in New Jersey now, and it's a little less painful. I mean, still painful, but it's the people that are expensive, you know.
That's true.
The real estate's a drop in the bucket. The people are expensive.
But that's like a pain message for people, though. If you're feeling like you're having to reach in the pocketbook and buy your way out of a problem, I would ask people to pause a little bit and say, wait a minute, isn't there something internally that we could leverage? Can we call some friends that we haven't been calling? Can we look at an existing customer that we haven't been calling? Can we, you know, take an existing product and just do it a slightly different way without it being too expensive? You know, and you've done that with the voiceovers and the different languages and even the different books that you've done. I mean, it's just been very impressive. Any last piece of advice you want to give our listeners about leverage from the Leverage Queen?
You know, I think that, Aldana, the advice that we were talking about earlier, which is, you know, if you have an expertise in hairdressing, for example, don't open a flower shop.
Yeah.
Stick with because I think we devalue what we know and the gifts that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like classic Coke, you know, suddenly why the heck they ever thought they should change that formula.
I don't know, but wasn't that amazing?
You know, even back to my family business, which is Archie Comics, Archie will never choose between Betty and Veronica. End of story. You must respect.
You don't want him to. You don't want him to.
Well, he won't be Archie anymore.
Uh-huh.
So you have to respect the integrity of your product,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get what that is. And even though you're bored to hell with it,
yeah.
doesn't mean your customers are. So I think we devalue and we read it as boredom. But we're really devaluing our skills and our assets, and
well,
that's
most of the
my
time, somebody's not bored of it. They don't even know about you. They haven't seen your logo. They haven't read your book. They haven't seen your whatever.
Right.
You know, we're too close.
What I'm saying, Aldana, is that the entrepreneur, the business owner, is devaluing what he has, and he's bored with something. The market is not.
I agree.
And
that's
it's the core problem is that we do not value our skills and our abilities. That's the core problem. And you have to address that first so that all your decision-making can be straight.
I agree with you. Now, if somebody wants to reach you, I believe www.greatvoice.com still works.
Yeah, let me give you phones and emails. I would love to get emails from people who heard this program today and found it helpful. It's susan@greatvoice.com. That's Susan, S-U-S-A-N. @GREATVOICE.com. And our telephone number in New Jersey at the Great Voice Company is 201-541-8595 and East Coast time.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you being on the program. I will wrap up here and let you go because I know you have an appointment coming up on the hour, and we thank you for joining us.
Aldana, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Good to hear
from
you.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
So, everybody, I think if you listen to what Susan was talking about, you can hear what I was saying back to the beginning about knowledge, skill, interest, and access. Now, let's combine these. You have a tangible thing, you know, like you're a manufacturer, you're accountants. You don't have to be as connected to the media as she was. I think one of the reasons that I did an example in the beginning was some of us forget or wouldn't even listen to her because we'd say, well, she had all this media access, and she had this, and she had that. No, that was what she recognized how to leverage. And I just have hundreds of examples from clients where they had something just as exciting as she had, and they walked from it. They thought it was boring. They thought everybody had that. They undervalued it, just like Susan was just saying, and they run from it. So especially if you're in a corporate position and you're thinking of creating a company, one of the things to not do, please don't do this, you know, they leave and they don't even give an announcement about their new position, their new company, their new venture to the previous people that they've been working with. Some of your best contracts can be your former employers. I can think about some ways that I've had to leverage. And one of the things that I do right now is I'm the lead instructor for IBM's Presidents and Owners program. And they have, you know, 2,500-plus business partners out there, people, the value-added resellers, the folks that sell the computers and the software. And, you know, so they fly them in from all over the country and all over the world to the Palisades Conference Center in New York, and it's just wonderful. It's an exciting course, and we're trying to grow the businesses of these people that are representing IBM. And leveraging that is important. You need to, you know, I need to mention it on radio programs and on my website and get it out in my newsletter so that the credibility of being affiliated with a corporation the size of IBM is heard. And you can't, you know, hide your light under a bushel basket, as grandparents used to say. And what that led to is an invitation to Prague. IBM is talking about a program in Eastern Europe where we're going to be bringing in companies from all different countries in Eastern Europe to do a similar kind of program in October. And we need to leverage that. We need to say, all right, how do we get a speech at Partner World in January? How do we get news articles out on the websites that help the partners that are participating in this? How do we have some discussion groups? How do we have referrals from the people who were in the class? Whenever you have something big, you know, it's a little more obvious than when you have something small, but the questions are the same. You have some big thing happen to you. How do you multi-purpose it so that it develops into something bigger for yourself? Another thing that I can give an example from is awards that I've gotten. Over the years, I've been blessed with, you know, I'm an advocate. I do a lot of testifying at legislative hearings on behalf of small business and companies that are growing. And, you know, you're not thinking about awards when you do that. I mean, at least most of the people I know, they've gotten angry about something. They see that there's an injustice out there, something that's interfering with economic development, and you just can't shut up. But when something happens, you know, the first one was a shock. I stood at the answering machine and absolutely speechless because the South Jersey Chamber of Commerce, now it's called the Chamber of Commerce of Southern New Jersey, is a 2,000-person organization. And they gave me their first award as the small business advocate, and I was just flabbergasted. And that was in the 1980s. You know, and you're flabbergasted partly because they've had all these wonderful people that created the chamber. Wouldn't there be this long line of people, you know, the old guys that created the organization years ago that would be due for recognition? So, you know, to have something like that happen is just stunning. All right, you can't get shy. You can't be embarrassed about it. How do you promote the South Jersey Chamber for having done that? How do you thank them? How do you put the press releases out? Make sure you point out that this is something that's happened. That one award has led to a number of things. The SBA recognized me for some advocacy work, in part because they'd already seen, you know, the South Jersey Chamber recognized her, and let's take a look at her. I actually find that awards breed awards, because if you point them out and you say, this is something that happened, and you have your picture in the paper, that somebody else takes a look at it and says, I think maybe there's something going on here. If you have a good thing happen and you take it as and you're too shy about it, it can stop the flow. Talk about a continuity program. It can stop the flow of something else that's coming for you. So, bottom line on today, think about leverage. If life is coming too hard, your business is plateaued, it's not growing as fast as you want, instead of spending your way out of the problem, take a look at some of the capabilities with a new eye. And if you can't see them, ask your customers to tell you what you're good at. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and I will talk with you next week about how to grow your business to the next level.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.